time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Man, oh man, it's the 15th of October, 2018 already. Where does time fly? Dale Socia's son got married over the weekend. Sure, he had a big wedding there. Dale recovering from all that. And that's a cool thing because Dale's son is just, he's just out of high school. Just out of high school and getting married. You remember people used to do that all the time, didn't they? Now guys aren't getting married till they're 35, 38. Our son's 36 years old, still not married. I don't want to dive on this horse and ride it, but it just comes back to the same thing, man. We've raised a generation of people who are really, really self-centered. And as I've heard young guys say, well, I'd get married and have kids. What's a kid going to do for me? What good's that going to do? Just going to get in the way. So, daggone, Lord, help us. Wake up and understand what's going on. So, Dale, congratulations, sir. I'm sure it was a great time. Thank you,
Coach.
Yes, sir. How old is he?
He's 19. He married my associate pastor's daughter. They grew up together. And they were friends, and they fell in love last year.
Unbelievable. 19 years old. Unbelievable. Man, oh, man. Dale, that's unbelievable that there's a 19-year-old mature enough to be able to get married in today's America. So, God, you and Michelle did something right even on that one, man. I mean, it's – wow. You with me, folks? I mean, we just live in like – where did we come to the point? I'm going somewhere today. Stay with me. Wow. When the Bible tells us that children are a gift from the Lord, the fruit of the womb is his reward, heritage of the Lord. Man, oh, man. I watched a video this weekend. I'm going to try to condense it. In fact, I was going to show a little bit of it this morning. This is so crazy. I watch so many things. Like yesterday, I went out for my 6-mile walk, and I'm constantly playing stuff in my ear. I got to thank Chad because Chad showed me how to speed up a YouTube video. If you guys haven't figured that out yet, boy, you ought to do that. You can change the speed of the replay on it. So you look at a YouTube video and it's 25 minutes. I don't have 25 minutes to listen to this thing. Man, you can speed it up. You can click on that little gear and click it and playback speed, and you can double it. You can double time it. So I get out, I get walking, and I get those up. I get that headphone in my ear, and I go to that double time on that. Man, I get a lot of information. You know, Kinsey was wicked. That Alfred Kinsey was wicked. Oh, Lord, this be good tinfoil hat Monday. I watched a video yesterday. You want to see something? Are you ready for this? I'm not gonna dive into it, but I'll just give this to all of you out there that are listening. How about this one? A funny thing happened on the way to the moon. Wow. A funny thing. It's a YouTube video. It's about 45 minutes.
Yeah, Boris Subrol did that.
A funny thing happened on the way to the moon. That's worth a watch. Man, the deception of what's happened to us here in America has been unbelievable. Hey, busy weekend. I didn't have a real busy weekend. Actually, I was kind of getting my feedback under me from my trip out to Iowa and catching all up on stuff when I got back. But boy, we got some stuff going on. Let me run down some things here for you real quick. We're gonna try to get Kurt on here tomorrow to talk about meet you at the polls. Maybe somebody can jump in here and tell us what happened with yours. We went to my wife and I and my daughter and a couple of us. We went to meet you at the polls here in Newark, Ohio. And in Newark, Ohio, there's only about 45,000 people, I think, in Newark, Ohio. So we were lucky to get five of us at the poll. But I'm not going to give up. And it's the first one. We drove a stake into the ground. And we prayed. And we're going to encourage more people to be out there next week. And I know that Pastor Tom Gill held one down in Lancaster. And I think they held one up in Mount Vernon. Anybody got a story to tell about meet you at the polls? Hang on, man, before you come in here. I got three emails from people who told me that they hosted a Meet You at the Polls, and they asked their pastor to announce it at church, and he wouldn't do it. I'm going to say it again. They asked their pastor to announce it at church, and they wouldn't do it. Now, I guess I sort of understand it if it's a 900,000 member church, a huge Joel Osteen church. I kind of get that. You mean to tell me you're going to a church where there might be 50, 100 people in there, and you ask your pastor to announce a prayer vigil, a pray for our nation vigil downtown, and people won't do it? I turned on Dale Socia, and of course, Dale Socia, you know, Mr. Dale, he's down there playing guitars and singing music, and it's crazy. Yeah, Vinny, go ahead.
Why would you excuse the Joel Osteen church? That's the church we need to have the prayers at the polls for.
Well, my point on that, Vinny, was I understand.
I know you were being sarcastic.
You got to jump through to get announcements. I understand that.
Right. Well, Coach, what the hell are they doing in them churches?
Right, the tank social clubs. Actually.
Well, they're not praying in those churches, are they? Russ Dizdar did some research and said that the average church does about 45 seconds of prayer per week. 45 seconds of prayer per week. And I know that Pastor Mike Spaulding took that to heart, and they've made that a very, very important part of their church service now is prayer. See, people tell us that they like to pray, or I'll pray for you, brother, or my prayers are with you, brother. And the truth is most people don't pray. And the reason they don't pray is because we don't understand what prayer is. We think that prayer is, first of all, prayer is communication. It's communication. Pray without ceasing. Pray back and forth. Communication between you and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit that indwells. And so our prayer ought to be continuous, right? But when we say to people, hey, I'm going to go into my prayer closet and I'm going to pray 4 or 5 hours. I'm sorry. See, when we turn prayer into an activity, we lose the impact of it. Now you say, well, Coach, that's exactly what you guys are doing with See You at the Polls. No, it isn't. No, it isn't. Part of what we're doing is a public proclamation. And I hear from you because I get the emails. Coach, the prayers are supposed to be done in private. Well, okay. Oh, okay, I get it. But what do you do if it's supposed to be done in private? And the Bible says that where there are two or more of you gathered, the one will send 1,000 to flight, two will send 1,000 to flight, three will send 10,000, four will send 1,000,000, multiplication of prayer. Because, again, we talk about people love to wax on and on and on about prayer and the power of prayer and prayer changes things. And then we don't pray. We don't pray. So we showed up yesterday in downtown Newark, and it was amazing because, you know, what was already going on. My wife and I drove two different cars. And we didn't drive two different cars. She was in one car. I was in another car. It'd be hard to drive two different cars. But she got there a little bit before me, and there was a big crowd there. And think, yeah, cool. Well, it was the Coalition for Housing or whatever, praying for public. The Episcopals were praying for public help with public transportation in our county, which they probably needed. And you know, the funniest thing happened. I'll just tell you the truth today. When I got out of my car, we walked to Columbus. I'm sorry, in Newark, it's a town square. We have a Ten Commandments. If you guys saw my video show, there's a Ten Commandment monument still there, put in 1957, with the all-seeing eye on it. It's amazing. But when I was walking up towards the people who were praying for transportation in our county, I had a weird, really weird feeling. This is a problem, by the way. Could have been my problem. I didn't sense they were on our side. I sensed that if I was going to go up and ask them to pray, they weren't on my side. You know what I'm saying? How do we get to the point in America we have politicized prayer? If I were to go to somebody, see, this is what's happening in our pulpits. You go to your pastor and say, Pastor, they're having a prayer down at the flagpole in downtown Newark. Pastor, would you please announce it from your pulpits that people can go down there and pray? What do pastors immediately think? Politics. Yeah, Jared.
Two things. Could you move your camera down a tiny bit? And then who are they praying to? Who are they praying to? They're praying.
As we walked up there, that's as we walked up there, I just sensed that we just weren't praying. You get it, right? Get it? So how what's happened to the church that we've politicized even that aspect of it? That if you're going to go pray before God, you have to go pray before the Democratic God or the Republican God. Which God are you praying to? Right? That's where we find ourselves. Rather than flowing in the power of biblical unity, all in one voice, man, it just doesn't happen. So we did it. We're going to go back again next Saturday, and we'll get Curly to talk about it more. I know we're on it all across America. A lot of people are having them. So somebody, you want to just pipe in here a little bit and tell me about your own little prayer vigil, and was it good, and did nobody come, or did you get any opposition? Jump in here real quick. Encourage others. Let's encourage each other here.
Coach.
Yep.
Yeah, so Karina and I actually went around on Saturday. We stopped at some churches actually to we printed out the notice. Okay, we printed out the main page of Meet You at the Poll, and then we printed out the page that states where the location is. We picked the local courthouse because it had big, you know, nice big flagpole there.
Sure,
and
sure.
So we went around, delivered it to some churches. You know, we did speak to a couple of pastors. Other than that, we just posted it. We posted it on the church door. Larry, you'll appreciate this. One of the pastors we spoke to was a Nigerian pastor, and he gets it. Okay, he said to us, he said, "Thank you. I can't make it this week, but I will come next week." He said, if it wasn't for Trump being elected, he says, I don't know if I'd be speaking here today, because in Houston, the mayor was asking all the pastors down there to submit their sermon messages to them, you know, for approval.
Mm-hmm.
And so he showed me a video of how people are getting massacred in Nigeria because of the Muslims. So just to relate that, but I also handed it out. We also handed it out in church on Sunday. Now I didn't ask the pastor because we just started this, but I will this week if he would announce it. We'll see where that goes. But Karina and I were the only two that showed up. Well, we showed up.
It's a good start. Anybody else? Anybody have a like to hear some of these reactions? Because come on in here.
I had announced it on my radio show last week and this past Saturday, and I also announced it at my church. Of course, most of my congregation are very elderly, and yesterday was a cold, nasty, drizzly, rainy day. But last Sunday, the first week I did this, I was there by myself. And yesterday I had three people. I tripled my,
Your numbers.
Numbers. And, but oh. I got a text message from a former Lutheran pastor who, informed me that that it had been announced on KNEO radio station, which is a local Christian radio station. So, I'm hopeful that, this next week, I'll have, you know, 10 or 12 show up. So,
yeah, we just keep building. That's all we can do. That's all we can try to do. Anybody else? I'm looking down here. I'm looking for
hey, a coach. Ask.
Yeah, damn.
Yeah, we did. And, you know, of course, I had several families that were out of my church. And, of course, you know, with the wedding and stuff. But we had about a dozen out there. It was great. We have a great pavilion and picnic tables. Otis Kenner came a little bit later. And he's going to be coming out with his church. But what was nice is that we did go Facebook Live. And so there was local people who I'm locally connected with who do go to other churches. And they're asking me to send pictures of the flyers. So that will bring them, whether their pastors engage in it or not. So we had a good time. But I was able to bring some of the people up to the courthouse to look inside the window. And in our courthouse, not only is there a cross on the wall, but right beneath the cross, there are several documents, the Mayflower Compact, the Ten Commandments, the Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Independence. And I said, well, see, the ACLU hasn't gotten to us yet.
Amen. Hey, Pastor Mike Spaulding, let me call you in here real quickly. And I'm not trying to I'm not trying to put you on the spot, but you're a guy who's been swimming in those pastor circles for a long, long time. What do you think? What do you think the issue is, Pastor Mike? I don't want it to be a beat on the bang on the pastors. I don't want it to be that. What can we do, Pastor? To you have any solutions, Mike? How do we reach the pastors? He might be working. He may not be able to answer me. Anybody have a suggestion for that?
I do as a pastor, Coach. And the fact is they're not realizing in the book of Ephesians, it talks about the apostles, prophets, preachers, teachers, and evangelists. And it says they are to equip the saints to do the works of the ministry. They need to realize this is the saints wanting to do the works of the ministry. All they got to do is give them a yea and amen, bless them, cover them in prayer, and send them out doing it.
Can someone here today tell me an easier thing to do than to show up at the poll and pray? An easier thing. Now, hang on a minute, because I'm on to something here. Why do other Christians make Christians nervous? I sensed it so thick. Why do we get nervous when we're around Christians that we don't normally fellowship with? Why is that? Somebody help me out. I'm telling you, I'm trying to figure this out.
Because of being judged.
What do you mean by that, Kevin?
As soon as you start speaking, they're going to critique you. They're going to analyze you and critique you.
Try to put you in a box, right? What kind of Christian are you?
That's the difference between religiosity and a true relationship with Christ. I preached on it yesterday, brother. We were once dead stones. We're now living stones, and no stone is alike, jointly fitted together, building the house of God. Religion wants to make us brick and mortar. You can only be this way. You have to be this way. That's brick and mortar versus living stones.
So Christianity is the living faith of those now dead, and religion is the dead faith of those now living. So, I want you to think about this. If we're going to try to win the cultural war, can we win the cultural war if we won't even gather together to pull and pray? I'm just telling you, man. I don't want to beat this on the ground. Anybody else got anything to say? Yes, hang on a minute. We are doing it next week. Yes, we are doing it next week. We're going to follow through on this thing. We're not going to despise the days of small beginnings, and we're going to do everything we can to try to draw people out. Go ahead, Vinny. I'm sorry.
No problem, brother. Hey, so listen, we still got a problem. We still got gatekeepers in the way. There's still people who still believe that Israel is a chosen land. It's man-made Israel. It's not biblical Israel. So forget all this nonsense. But people are still going by. That's why we still have satanic social clubs, because they're still being suborned by the synagogue of Satan.
You know, Vinny, the truth is, when I was out of Iowa, and I won't let too many cats out of the bag here, one of the guys who showed up to one of the events that we had out there cornered me at the end of it and noticed, said, I went to your website, and what's your view on Israel? And through the course of the conversation, I come to find out he almost didn't come because he wasn't sure that my views on Israel were correct. Now, I'm not going to say, I I didn't back down from it and held my own. I said, pardon me, what do you think Jesus meant when he said, those who say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan, what does that mean to you? He didn't really have a very good answer, right? So what do you say when he said that, when Jesus said not all Israel is Israel? What do we say there? Paul said that, I guess. So again, we pick our little niches. That's why we have 36,000 denominations. You ask if the Lord is Lord's able to bless that kind of mess, man. I don't know. Somebody, come on in.
Hey Dale, you know, piggybacking on your stones thing, you know, those that are comfortable in their brick and mortar stones that they've built their four walls around them and their flock, they think those of us who have been exposed to some truth, they think we're kidney stones and we're just a pain to them.
Kidney stones. I'll steal that one, Larry. I'll steal that one for sure. That's the truth. So I don't want to criticize the body. I don't want to beat up on the body. Daggone it, man. It grieves me because, as I said, There's no reason we should be losing. There's no reason. We won't even get in a huddle together.
I do think it's the pastor that holds the clout. All right.
Yeah.
You know, if the pastor gets behind it, the people will follow. But if the pastor is mum on it, the people will just say, well, I don't know if I'm going to go. I mean, yeah. They don't say that to you, but they just, well, they gave it.
But they Glenn, just don't acknowledge it. Glenn, here's the thing. They won't even go if the pastor tells them to.
Well, in a lot of cases, that's true.
Yeah. So, it's an excuse. Can I really tell you the truth? The pastors won't come unless they're asked to speak. That's been kind of, you ask them to speak. Oh, they'll come. Yeah, they'll come then. But
it's a control thing, Dave. Again,
yeah.
If it flows through the body of the church building and what they're doing, it's not relevant. It's not important. Think about how many lay things are led and pushed through. Very few. Everything flows through the church's agenda. That's just the way it is.
Mm-hmm. So we do know this, Roger, that the pastors don't want to talk about it because they see it as political. Isn't that something? Prayer has become political. Okay, I'm not going to beat up on that. We're going to move on. Meet you at the polls. I'll be there next week. Yeah, Jeff.
We had one pastor show up at the square of Mount Vernon. I had a total of 14 people from.
Wow. That's an overflow.
About five or six different churches. And a couple of them, when they came, I asked them where they come from. They told me the church, one in Danville, one over here, one over there. I'm like, how did you guys find out about this? Because I went to a few places in town. And I actually went to the mayor's office, took him into the mayor's office. I went to the commissioner's office up there and met all of them up there and took them flyers. So I've got a couple other pastors say they're coming. They couldn't yesterday. Some of them had their fall festivals. Sure. But you know what I did? It was kind of neat. Pastor Bill and Kyle let me get up in front of the church and explain it for a few minutes.
Uh-huh.
So we yesterday had we must have had 30 or 40 little kids there because it was that fall festival day. So they right. trucked in all their kids in them vans. So when I got up there, I approached the kids. I said, how many of you little kids have been to a flagpole? And some of them were older ones, some of them were teens, and some of them were grown up pastor teens that used to go to our church. So when I said, how many of you been to the flagpole to do prayer at the flagpole at your school? Had some hands go up. So I used that analogy, and I said, now, you adults, it's your turn. And they all just looked at me. Some of them say they're going to do it in their hometowns this next Sunday. So,
yeah, we got 3 weeks to continue to build it, man. That's what we have to try to do.
Pastor Roger Tickle was there, and he's the one that kind of got some of the people to come, and he's going to keep on this week with all his emails of pastors he knows. He's going to alert them all. So,
good.
See what happens.
Well, let's just Lord, I just pray right now, Lord Jesus, that. Lord, that you would that you put your hand up on this, Lord. If it be your will, you put your hand upon this, Lord Jesus. That you tear down the denominational walls, Lord Jesus. That you would call your body out, Lord Jesus. Lord, where there's unity, you said you command the blessing. Lord, I just pray for the unity of purpose, unity in the heart of men and women. Gospel of the kingdom of God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stay faithful, man. Chad, how'd it go down there? How was it down there at your get together this weekend, Chad, down there in Moody, Texas? He's in there, isn't he? Chad, you didn't dip out on me. Or did he? I don't see him. I thought he was in there. Well, Chad had to get together down there. We'll get him in here tomorrow and he'll tell us about that. Jared, let's go to the schedule here real quick. Man, I chewed up 24 minutes already. Didn't mean to do that. Got a lot of stuff to talk about. Jared, pull that schedule up there for us. Come on, folks. We're up and running here, man. This is a big weekend. Is Rob Pugh in here with us today? Is Ray or Rob in here with us today? We have the Church Arise event beginning this Wednesday in Marshfield, Wisconsin. Marshfield, wow. It's hard to believe it's October 17th already. All day on the 17th, actually it's the evening of the 17th, all day on the 18th, and then on the 19th, we go down to Milwaukee on the 19th and the 20th down to the Church Arise event, and a bunch of us are going to be there, and a bunch of you are thinking about being there. come and join us. Church Arise. Church Arise, October 17th. Is Rob with us today? I didn't check to see if he was in here. Ray and
Rob's pretty tied up, but he's working behind the scenes real hard.
Okay, Ray, tell us what's going on there, brother.
Well, we're getting a lot of contacts. There's a lot of people coming. We're going to have people from about 30 different states, Rob. So it's going to be a good turnout. There's going to be lots and lots of activities, lots of time to interact with each other. The biggest event will be Thursday when we get out in the streets of Marshfield. I put together 2,000 flyers with gospel tracts and literature from each one that's going to be represented. Salt Light Brigade, Missions to the Unborn, OSA, ourselves, Wisconsin Christian News, and the newspaper. And we're just going to go up and down. I got 40 boxes of 50 each with maps on it, so the streets are all outlined where to go. And people are just going to try to engage with whoever they can while they're out there. And that's just one aspect of, you know, the rest of the things that we're going to be doing with the speakers and the music at night. So it's going to be a good time to come.
Ray, as you know, if you've never done anything like this, this is a great way to get started, because we will have quite a few people there, and you can stand back and you can be part of it without having to really get your fingers wet, your hands wet. You can see what's going on, understand what street ministry is all about. It's a great learning tool if you've never done it. So that's this Wednesday in Marshfield, begin Wednesday evening in Marshfield, carrying through Friday and Saturday in Milwaukee. So if you can't make it one or the other, because Marshfield and Milwaukee are like 3 hours apart, they're not real close. So if you can make it to one or the other, it'd be good. Chad, I see you back in here. How'd it go this weekend, Chad?
Well, Dave, yeah, good morning. I thought things went well. We had a pretty good turnout after our September one. So about 23 people or so went well. So we got rained on a little bit. So, but it still went smooth. We just improvised, adapted, and overcame. We spent some good time with fellowship. A lot of time we cooked chili. That was awesome.
I'd love to have been there. You didn't throw any of that pig in there, did you, Chad? You didn't do that to us. Hey, Chad, while you're there, man, talk about November 9th and 10th, because this does coincide with it. November 9th. Folks, if you remember on our schedule, we were originally going to go to Tulsa. And we had to do a flip, made a real quick change there. And instead of going to Tulsa, we're going to go back to Chad's on the 9th and the 10th and talk a little bit about that, Chad.
Well, okay. We're going to still – it's going to be basically the same protocol. Friday night, 7 p.m. show up. We'll have a burgers and all that kickoff. And then what I'll do is I'll go over the game plan of what we're going to do for Saturday. And so that's your briefing at that time. I'll be pushing out an email, or Gary will for me, to everybody about wearing the red shirt. I need everybody to wear the same shirt.
Be in uniform. Truth sounds like hate shirt. Yes, sir.
Yeah, so I need that for security reasons, or, you know, just to be able to keep up with everybody.
So, Chad, if people can't come Friday, we're going to be at Planned Parenthood in Austin, Texas on November 10th, Saturday, November 10th. Right, brother?
That's right, at 1 p.m.
So if they can't make it to your house, they can come and be part of it there from 1 till 3 at the Planned Parenthood in Austin, Texas. We'll get you more information on it.
If they just come to Austin, straight to Austin, we're going to have to meet with them earlier so that we can get them on board with the game. So they're going to know everything they need.
Yep. We'll get an email out about that. You need to contact Chad. Let's not forget then, first regional huddle in Hellerton, Pennsylvania. That's a Bethlehem, PA. That's November 3rd. That's like, what, 3 weeks, couple, 3 weeks? So, folks, get out there. As Chad will tell you, as many will tell you, as a lot of guys will tell you, it's the fellowship, man. It's the fellowship. So, so important, so critical that you folks are able to get there. Anybody else for the good of the group on the schedule here? Did I forget anything?
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm on the call-in line today.
Hey, George, so we can hear you.
Hey, hopefully you can all hear me. Hey, I just want to let you know, Paul Webb and I met at the pole downtown Tulsa at the courthouse, and just the two of us. And yeah, I'm kind of amazed because I even had one guy that's a good brother, you know, basically say, you know, why should we pray in public? You know, we should be praying in private. And one conclusion I've come up with, Coach, is that where there's no persecution, and I'm not for persecution whatsoever, but unfortunately, we become such a fat, lazy society that because things are so easy, it's like pulling teeth to get large numbers of Christians to really do the right thing.
It is. We're big talkers, but we're not very good on the doing part of it.
But I'll tell you this, man. Paul Webb's a powerful prayer warrior. And I could tell you this. I know heaven heard our prayers just like he did everyone else's. So let's keep it up. Let's keep encouraged and let's just talk to people that are supposed to be with us.
Let's go occupy the spots. Let's go occupy the spots, right? Yeah, Dale.
Yeah, Coach, I got an answer for all those people who say we should be praying in private. Of course, there's many of scriptures, but a great illustration is Daniel. He could have kept his curtain closed, but he specifically made the point that that curtain was going to be open. They were going to see him pray.
Mm-hmm. Listen, if you're praying just to show off, then don't pray, right? Don't pray. That's the whole purpose of it. Because the idea is to make a public proclamation, a glorification of Christ as our King. I think he's okay with that. Next thing, man, I'm sorry, I got a lot of stuff. It's important to get all this out. We have begun an initiative down in on the Florida Panhandle. Jared, if you could search right now, just go to Jared, see if you can find a YouTube video on Mexico City, the devastation that took place down there. Jim Kraft is already down there. And I was really kind of ambivalent. I just got so many things going on, but the devastation down there is so it's just so Mexico Beach. It's so unbelievable. So Jim's already down there. Jared, see if you could find one. There was somebody did a drone video from on top of it. It was just absolutely was unbelievable to see the total and complete devastation. And I know this from our standpoint, folks, he's got it up there now. I know this from our experience. When you get there, it's overwhelming. It's just overwhelming. It's not, you say, where do we start? What can we do? And I don't really have an answer for it. But we began raising some money yesterday. I actually got an appeal from the Oath Keepers again. We really worked with the Oath Keepers before. For some reason, they don't have the ability to raise money very well. They're down there. They're working hard. They said there's a great need for food, for supplies. So Jim Kraft, from Gallup Police, Ohio, Jim loaded up his truck and Jim went down there yesterday and he is trying to form a beachhead for us. In other words, a place from which we can operate. Okay. And for that, so as we look at this, what do we call it? This disaster. It's not going to be over this week. People say, well, Coach, you're in Wisconsin. What can you do down there? Well, we were down in Texas on and off for 11 weeks. We were in Hurricane Katrina on and off for 8 or 9 weeks. So we're going to try to, as we get through this initial stage here, we're going to try to raise up crews that are going down there, going to feed people, drywall, whatever we can do. And we appreciate your donations because as we try to tell everybody, we take the gospel with us. FEMA, there's no gospel with FEMA. There's no gospel with Red Cross. Red Cross is now a it's now a government agency, the Red Cross is. Don't give your money to the Red Cross.
Give it to the salt.
This is a chance to go down there person to person and really try to look into the eyes of people and give them some hope. So we're just getting started on this thing. I'm a little bit beyond. Look at those pictures. That's unbelievable, man. It's unbelievable. So we're just getting gone. Jim's down there trying to figure out that, try to get organized, seeing how we can help. I already, you guys know Chance, who was on here with us on Friday. Chance is already sending a truckload of easily prepared foods down there. We've donated money to help Chance be able to do that. And we're just getting up and running. I don't know how big an operation it's going to be, but if some of you can look down the road and maybe you have a weekend, not this weekend, but maybe 2 weekends from now, maybe 3 weekends from now, as we begin to get some boots on the ground there, then there'll be opportunities for some of you to come and volunteer with us. So we're doing that. And you can go to, you can go to our website, Jared, if you'll pull that up on our website, coachdavelive.com, and you can donate right online. And we promise you this. There's no middleman. Yes, we do. Please hear me. Yes, we do pay expenses for our guys to go down there. If we have to get hotels, we do that. We buy their meals when they're down there. But we don't pay people to go down.
Nobody's staying at the Radisson on their dime.
That's not doing it on that dime. In fact, we try to find churches that we can sleep in. We did in the past when we were down in Port Arthur and down in Beaumont. We did fly people down. We flew about 7 or 8 guys down there who did some Herculean work as far as repairing drywall and just doing prayer. We flew some guys down there. It's just this is a little better. Mexico Beach, that's Mexico City. What is it, Mexico Beach? It's not as far as Texas. It's not as far. I could probably be there in about, if I had to drive a car, I could probably be there in 10 hours. To make it to Texas, it took us about 21 hours from Ohio to be able to get down there. Some of us longer than that. So we've heard from people already who not only are sending money, but are saying, hey, coach, I'd love to go. So bear with us. We're in the process of putting that whole thing together. Dale, you're an old expert. Any advice you can offer anybody? I don't think Jim McCraft is in here with us today. Just come on in here, Dale. Talk to us here a second.
Yeah, we you know, Jim and I are kind of touching base with that. Matter of fact, my worship pastor, Anna, her mom's house, she lives just west of Mexico Beach, and she lost her entire roof. So we have people that we're connected to that are affected the same thing with Jim Craft. That's what he's going down there for. So we are planning to go down there in that vicinity. There's not going to be any power, no electricity, no running water. There's nothing there for right now. Everything is shut down, and it's going to be shut down for a while.
And how far are you from there, Dale? How far are you from there?
It's 5 hours from me, so it's like driving to Beaumont, Texas.
Hang on just a second. Those of you never been to the Panhandle, we hear a lot about the Panhandle. You know, Panama City, Destin, Florida, all that out through there. That's a beautiful, beautiful white. Oh my goodness, it's beautiful white sand, and it's been absolutely devastated. Now you say, well, coach, why didn't you go down there for North Carolina? Well, I just didn't get the urge, the Holy Spirit to do it. That's all. That's all I can tell you. When Jim said he was going to go down and get something rolling, then we jumped in behind. So we just started our fundraising, and we've already crossed. We're about $5,500 already. So that'll be a good start for us. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, kind of, they interviewed the mayor of that city, and he said that there are going to be places, I don't know if this whole city or some areas will not get power for 6 months.
Unbelievable, isn't it?
Yeah.
Jared, can you pull those pictures back up a little bit, Jared? Let's take a look at this. I mean, it's just, and folks, until you're there, I'm telling you, I haven't been there. Well, I've been there. You know what I'm saying?
I remember Hurricane Hugo here in South Carolina, and my house was without power for 2 weeks, and I thought that was horrendous. I can't imagine. Yeah. You know, these people don't have houses. A lot of them don't have houses to be repaired. They have houses to be replaced.
Well, Larry, and as we often say, a phrase I kind of came up with back in Hurricane Katrina days is that God has more disaster than the federal government has relief. And, you know, as I've said before, the churches are devastated. the churches on the ground, which is where we try to partner and work through, you see the homes of the people who went to those churches. So if that was you, what would you be doing? You can't go stay with your neighbor. How can you stay with your neighbor? I mean, I suppose you can. They lost everything. That's one of the reasons that Jim Craft went down there, is because his family did. His niece, I think it was. They lost everything. So,
yeah, that's the difference between the Texas, this one here that we're seeing, especially along that coastline, is not a flood issue. Where we saw down in Beaumont, people's homes were there. They were flooded, so they were having to gut out. So they're living there. These people are not going to be living there. There's no place to live. Most of the damage that is there is wind damage. They had gusts of 165 mile an hour winds. I mean, it's just catastrophic damages to everything.
Amen. Amen. Okay, so we're moving there. That's what we're doing, and you guys can think out, man. Look at your calendar and say, you know, Coach, I could set aside the first week in November. I could make it then. So start doing that on your calendars, because we're going to try to set up an area to be able to stage from. Yeah, Jared.
How long do you think this might go on with you guys? How long do you think?
I don't know. I would say at least till Thanksgiving, I would think. And, you know, those of you who've been to these things know what it's like. I mean, just know what it's like. So always remember this. In order to rebuild, you got to tear down. First thing you got to do is get all the junk and clear things out. And everything. People lost everything.
You know, after Hurricane Hugo, thousands of people left the New Orleans area and went to various parts of the country, especially into Texas and some of the states closer to Louisiana. And people opened their homes for them and allowed them to stay there. And my folks, who were, you know, fairly old at the time even, they opened their home. They had an outbuilding they called it, but it had a kitchen and a bedroom in it. And they opened their home to a small family that were refugees from Katrina. And they let them stay there rent-free for several months. I think it was about 8 or 9 months. Helped them find a job, got, you know, and they were able to get some income generated, save a little bit of money. And then they were eager, after 8 or 9 months of no rent and stuff, they were eager to take what they'd been able to save and go out and start a new life again in that area of Texas and get on their own and start paying their own way again. But assistance like that is going to be needed for some of these people down there in Florida. Some of them don't have families to go be with. They need some brothers and sisters in Christ to open up homes for them.
Amen. Jared, let's go to 1 Timothy 2 today. 1 Timothy 2. I'm sorry if this isn't my rant and raving, screaming. You know, listen, I don't know how to help some of you out. I was reading, I read comments on our show, sometimes on YouTube, sometimes on Facebook, trying to see if people are getting it. Folks, listen, I'm not angry. I'm not angry. If you can't understand the difference between passion and anger, I don't even know what to tell you. But for most of us, help me out here. In your everyday walk in your life, how many passionate men do you come across? I'm going to pause right there a minute. Other than for the Ohio State Buckeyes or for the Cincinnati Bengals or for the Cleveland Browns or for some sports team, how many passionate Christian men do you come across? I'm waiting. Somebody tell me.
Not too many passionate, Coach, but a lot of pansies with skinny jeans these days.
Passionate. Hey, Jared, Jared, there'd be a good Webster's 1828 dictionary. So they mistake my passion for anger. Anger? You know what? I'm going to tell you, I don't see myself as an angry guy. I just don't. And I don't know what. So what's passion? The impression or effect of an external agent upon a body, that which is suffered or received. A body at rest affords, no, that's not what I'm looking for. Suffering, emphatically, the last suffering of the Savior, the feeling of the mind or the sensible effect of impression, excitement, perturbation, or agitation of mind as desire, fear, hope, joy, grief, love, hatred. The eloquence of the orator is employed to move the passions. Violent agitation or excitement of mind, particularly such as an occasion by an offense, injury, or insult. Hence, violent anger, zeal, ardor, vehement desire. When statesmen are ruled by faction and interest, they can have no passion for the glory of their country. Love. He owned his passion for Amestris. Eager desire is a violent passion for fine clothes. Listen, if you're reading me as angry, I guess I am. But I'm not moved by anger. I'm moved by passion. Come on, dudes. Come on. You know, this. Let me throw this commercial out here. I'd love to get Mark Harrington on to talk a minute about the the Gosnell movie, which opened this weekend, by the way, to great reviews. Great reviews. They say it has the potential to really have an impact in the pro-life movement. But my buddy Mark Harrington said something I thought was really, really profound. He said, again, coach, they don't show the victim. They don't show the victim. Now, in the movie, they talk about the victims, and you can tell that they're talking about little babies in bottles that they find. You can tell that, but they never show the victim. Why don't we show the victim? You think about this. All of our horror movies love blood and guts and gore. Why don't we show the victim? Why, when we're doing the Gosnell movie, don't they show what those little babies in a jar look like? Why does our side always fight without passion? Oh, we fight with love, but not with passion. Somebody help me with that one.
There's nothing wrong with passion. There's absolutely nothing wrong with passion. People need to, there's a whole difference. It's passion and, you know. Why shouldn't you
be coach
about it? You love
yes.
it.
Yes.
I'll give you a football example. I don't know. You know who Jimbo Fisher is, the coach at Texas A&M?
Sure do, yep.
Did you see the game a couple of weeks ago where he went out on the field, he grabbed it for 2 seconds, this player's face mask, and all of a sudden there's this big old hoobala or blowover because he did that. And really? I'm like, he really didn't do it. Wasn't, you really look at it, he was just getting the guy's attention.
That's right. That's right. That's what you the know? Face mask is for. That's what I always told him. The face yeah. mask is for.
Get it a guy's- just show you how emasculated our society has become. It's just – you
hey,
know.
Paul, this is patting myself on the back. Okay. It's okay. But I can tell you this. Some might call it anger. When I make a presentation before a group, they feel it. Somebody say amen knows what I'm talking about.
When I'm in, I love the preaching, coach. I love it.
Amen. Amen. Look, amen. And there is nothing wrong with righteous anger.
It's not driven by anger. You sense the passion. You sense that it really matters to me. I'm not angry. I am, but I'm not driven by anger. Driven by
coach. But it's a healthy intensity. That's what you're bringing to it, is the intensity. Okay. It's the – and you know what? Yeah, if you're not convicted by it, then I don't want to hear it.
Hey, Chad, you know what my buddy Dr. Roof out there in Iowa told me? He said when he first started watching the show, he said I couldn't watch it in long spurts. He said because the intensity I wasn't used to. I couldn't handle it. And I think there's a lot of that, right? There's a lot of that. There's no intensity and no passion in what it is that Christian men believe. That's why you need to come to Marshfield. You're going to see a lot of people filled with passion. And I'm sorry if it looks and feels like anger. It's not. It's passion. It should. When you are part of it, you should feel emotion. Cool? I don't
Amen,
know why.
Coach.
I just wanted to get that out.
Hey, brother, listen, and if they go there, look, man, I hope someone's got a hold of Rusty's microphone, too, because if they think you're passionate, yep, Rusty right. gets to preach, and somebody will be on that volume button and turn it down a little bit.
Amen. Amen. Well, it's not for the sissies. I'm going to say that. Let me shift real – golly, I got 11 minutes. Jared, let's go to that what did I say? It? 1 Timothy 2. Exhort, therefore. By the way, Jared, what's exhort? Look that up in Webster. Exhort. Exhort. To incite by words or advice, to animate or urge by arguments, to a good deed or to any laudable conduct, to cheer, to advise, to warn, to caution, to incite or stimulate to exertion, to deliver exhortation, to use words or arguments to incite to good deeds. exhort! Exhort! Okay, let's go back to the scripture. I excite to good deeds, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving in of thanks be made for all men, but especially for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. By the way, let me connect Romans 13 to this right here. The purpose of godly leadership is that we might all live what? Quiet and peaceable lives in all godliness and honesty. When our government is reaching the point that our lives are not quiet and peaceable, we've got ourselves a government problem, folks. We got us a government problem. We've got ourselves a legal problem. And we look at what's going on, passion and emotions ruling the day in society. And Christians are told to put a pillow over the top of it. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. What is? What's good and acceptable? For kings and all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty, who will have all men to be saved and come into the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Wherefore, I am ordained a preacher and an apostle, and I speak the truth in Christ, and I don't lie. I'm a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity, and I will therefore that men pray everywhere, including at the poll, lifting up hands, holy hands, without wrath, without doubting. Wow, okay. And he's going to go ahead and how women's supposed to dress and all that stuff. So I'm going to show you something. It's one of the most, see, this is one of the most unbelievable moments in our entire, my entire human existence. I'm not telling you, I'm not lying. I've never seen anything like it. This is all you Trump haters and never Trumpers and those worried about being pee grabbers and he's married three times and all that stuff. When that Jared pulled up there, when that pastor who was let out of jail, oh, I could preach on this here. This pastor languished in a Turkish jail for 2 years. Let me stop there, Matt. Can you even imagine what that'd been like? Can you imagine what this guy has been through? But I don't want you to miss this. The scripture says, you shall be brought before governors and kings as a testimony against them and the Gentiles. And think not what you shall speak, for it shall be given unto you that same hour what you shall speak. For it's not you that speaks, but your Father that speaks through you. And I want you to run down through the past. Run down through Hussein Obama, George W. Bush, Billy Clinton, and Grampy Bush, and Reagan. Hey, that's getting us back a few years. Reagan's 1980. How many years ago is 1980? 38 years? 38 years ago in 1980. That's almost four decades. And then we get back before Reagan, then we go back to Jerry Ford, and then we go back to Jimmy Carter, and then we go back to Nixon, and we're back to Kennedy. And that time from Reagan on, the onslaught on American Christianity has been unbelievable. And I want you to ask yourself this question. Can you imagine any president of the United States being put in a place where someone's going to ask him if he can pray for him? No, I can't imagine any president ever. I cannot allow any White House ever allowing that to happen. I just can't imagine that you would never ever do that. You just would never do that. And this man, the faithfulness of God, in 24 hours, he goes from a Turkish prison to praying for the president of the United States in the White House. It was an unbelievably profound moment that the average Christian does not realize. We don't see it.
Coach.
Yeah. Yes.
Did you see him kiss that flag when he got back on American soil?
Unbelievable, wasn't it?
Did
unbelievable.
You see that?
No,
Coach, I was talking with Rusty Thomas, and I said, brother, it was like I was opening up the Old Testament and reading biblical stories where the king and a man comes and this a prophet comes and prays for the king like that. I guess maybe the last president, you know, he would bow down and kiss the ring of the king, where this man paid homage to the president of the United States, brother. It's biblical.
Hey, Dale, not only that, he asked President Trump if he could pray for him. And what did Trump say? I probably need it more than anybody. Imagine Hussein Obama saying that. You mean imagine that? Coach, imagine it?
Coach, I got one more thing to put in. And it's not tinfoil hattery, but it's very important. Our boys in the USS Liberty would appreciate a president like Trump.
Mm. Amen. Amen. Well, here's what I know. In his gruff, arrogant, take no prisoners approach, there's a humble man inside there. There's a humble man inside there. And I just want you to watch this minute and a half of this prayer. First of all, God bless this pastor. Just have the courage to do it.
Amen.
President Trump, can we pray for you? My wife and I pray for you regularly. He's been in freaking jail. He hasn't been with his wife. We pray for you regularly. Can we pray for you now? And watch this blessed, humble man get down on his knees. Watch the president bow his head and allow it to happen. And listen to the cameras clicking, because most of these people ain't never seen anything like it. And you know what? Dale, it was a message to the Christian world. And some of those people still don't get what's going on. Jared, go ahead and play this.
We would like to pray for you. We pray for you often.
Thank you.
As a family, my wife and I pray for you.
Thank you. Well, I need it probably more than anybody in this room. So I would. That would be very nice. Thank you.
Could we pray for you?
Yes, thank you very much.
Okay. Noreen, would I?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. So you can.
Okay.
Just do it
from here. Lord God, I ask that you pour out your Holy Spirit on President Trump, that you give him supernatural wisdom to accomplish all the plans you have for this country and for him. I ask that you give him wisdom on how to lead this country into righteousness. I ask that you give him perseverance and endurance and courage to stand for truth. I ask that you protect him from slander, from enemies, from those who would undermine. I ask that you make him a great blessing to this country. Fill him with your wisdom and strength and perseverance. And we bless him. May he be a great blessing to our country. In Jesus' name, we bless you. Amen.
Amen. And I just want to pray that the Spirit of the Lord would rest on the President, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord. Amen.
If the average church pastor was doing that for our president, God help us, man. God help us. God help us. Eyes to see, ears to hear, and understand what it is that the Lord is saying to us during these times.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah, go ahead, Paul.
No, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but a lot of them, what they would say is, well, did you pray for Obama like that? You know.
That's right.
But
that's right.
There's a difference. Obama made it clear he didn't want that. This
exactly.
I posted on
Farrakhan and those guys did pray for him like that.
I posted on Facebook, has anybody ever seen Hussein do this? And some guy posted a picture of Obama praying in the White House. And I said, yeah, he's praying that we still continue to think he's not a Muslim. That's what he's praying. See, people can't even see the difference in these two men. And here's the thing. This guy's not claiming to be a great Christian man. Do we understand this? He's not claiming to be a pastor in chief. He's not claiming that. And he's claiming, church, come and stand with me. Church, come and help me in this endeavor. Help me, church.
And not only that, Coach, he looked in that room and he said, probably more than anybody in this room, I need prayer. That's brother, right, that's humble.
Humility. And chuckled as he did it. But he knows, baby. He knows. He knows. So, we can't even get pastors to see you at the polls. Meet us at the polls. Oh, geez. Hey, here's my promise. I'll be a little bit more passionate and angry tomorrow for you. All right? Hey, help us out on our trip down in Pensacola, down in the Panhandle. Go there and donate some bucks. Help us out. Help those people out. Thanks for joining us. God bless you. See you tomorrow.